Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll last hour was, is there any team in the NFL that could beat the Saints? And the way it turned out, two-thirds said yes. Now, I don't know if they misinterpreted that poll or not, with a third saying no, or maybe they think the Patriots or the 49ers or somebody could beat them. I don't think anybody could beat them the way they played yesterday. And now our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll is asking you, do you think LSU should be the number one team in college football? Well, they are. And now both LSU and Alabama, they got 2 weeks to think on that, unless something changes next week, getting ready for the November 9th game of the Herb Tyler, former LSU quarterback, joins us. Herb, I think we're out of centuries, are we not?
Yes, we are, man. You're absolutely right, man. Good morning, Tommy. How are you, brother?
I'm well. Herb, how are you?
Oh, I'm good, man. I got, you know, Louisiana has the two best football teams in the country. Do you know that?
Totally agree with you.
That's crazy, huh?
It is, and both of them are off this weekend.
Yeah, they're off this weekend. How you like that? Well, that's all right. We get to look at everybody else out. Not so much our opponents that we're going to play the following week, but just to kind of get a glimpse of what everybody else looks like, right? Like the 49ers, like the Green Bay. I didn't watch Green Bay last night. I was driving, so I didn't get a chance to watch them. And I also want to watch Texas A&M really well, and I want to see – I know Arkansas is not going to really be a challenge for us, but I want to watch Texas A&M and Ole Miss just to see what they have.
Somebody texted in about – the Tigers being rated number one, they wish they weren't. They wish that LSU was number two, because now Alabama's going to have more of an incentive to play harder. And I think what's getting lost in all of this is the first college football playoff rankings come out Tuesday, November 5th, and the game is Saturday the 9th. So that's what really matters, right?
Well, I think 1-2, 2-1, whatever, it doesn't matter. If you can't get yourself motivated for this game in 2 weeks, then I think you're in the wrong business. So I think whoever says, whoever texts that doesn't really understand the dynamics of exactly what's going on here. We got two greatly coached teams that are deserving of 1 and 2. Either one could be 1 and 2. The reason why LSU is number one is because we played and beaten three top 10 teams, which deservingly so LSU should be. So I don't know, how do you not be number one if you've beaten, if you have the resume that you have? So I think that we definitely deserve to be number one after the win that we had this past Saturday.
I love to get in your helmet, Herb. So you play what, two games in Alabama, one at Tuscaloosa, I think, the other one in Birmingham, right?
Yep.
So what is it like there in either one? And the games now are in Tuscaloosa. Man, you put your helmet on, you just see all of this crimson when you come out. I guess maybe a small LSU contingent. What is going through your mind at that time? Are you trying to focus on your assignment? Are you ignoring the crowd? Do you feel any intimidation at all?
No, you take it all in. You accept what it is. You see the sea of crimson, like you said. It's Alabama this, it's Bama that, it's Roll Tide this, Roll Tide that. But what you do is you appreciate it for what it is, right? Because it's a moment. So not everybody gets to do what you do. So you take that moment in, and then you realize that, hey, it's time that I focus on the guys that are across from me. The crowd's going to be loud. You're going to hear them sometimes. But, for me, and I tell people this all the time, it's when I'm in the game and like I'm on the field and we're running plays and things of that nature, I don't actually hear the crowd. It's like something magical happens where it's like, I don't hear the noise. I was used to be so focused that the only things I would hear my guys calling their calls at the line of scrimmage, the defensive guys making all their calls and saying what they're saying. And then myself, I hear myself thinking of the things that I need to do within that play or whatever it is. And then after the play is over, then you hear the crowd noise. So if you can hone in and you can focus like that, that's the best thing to do. But you know, like I said, man, it's a beautiful thing to be involved in such a masterpiece of
college football, big time college football, right?
You know,
I mean, it's as big as it gets.
It you can't get any bigger than that. Even in the NFL, I know guys say that the NFL. The only thing that's probably bigger than that would be the Super Bowl. But a lot of times in the Super Bowl, you have fans that are not actually fans of those teams that are there. So, but when you're in college football, you have just, you know, just like a sea of Bama fans or a sea of LSU fans that just make it much more personable. And I think you just have to take that in and enjoy that.
It's interesting about a player stopping because, I don't know, was everybody like that? At some point, you got to keep your mind on your business, but you do have to just take it all in and realize how lucky you are that you get to be a part of it.
Yeah, because if you don't, then I think that you don't really realize where you are, and I don't think you play as good as you can because at some point you're just gonna you can't help but to notice it. You know what I mean? It's just it's just there. It's like a big round boulder in the middle of a highway on the side of a mountain. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we could take a break. Herb, yeah. You can't ignore it. No, we're going to take a break when we come back. Some of the questions I want to ask you, Auburn, what did they do defensively? Seemed to slow down the LSU offense. And Joe Burrow said he saw a defense that they haven't seen all season, and they adjusted in the second half. So what has Alabama learned from the Auburn game, from the previous Tiger games? If you have any questions or comments for Herb Tyler, former LSU quarterback, co-host of the Tiger Tailgate and Show, send them in. 870-870. I'll pass them along. 720. Traffic now, WWL. 724, Tommy Tucker, WWL. If you go to our website at WWL.com, you'll find our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll, which is asking you, should LSU be the number one team in the nation? And they are in the AP poll, but in, I think it's Amway coaches poll. I didn't even know Amway was still in business, but apparently they are. They have flip-flopped, and Alabama's number one, and LSU is number two. Two-thirds of y'all saying yes in our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll. LSU should be number one, and a third of you saying no. All right, Herb Tyler, former LSU quarterback, co-host of the Tiger Tailgating Show. Did Auburn do anything differently than other teams against LSU to kind of slow them down?
Yeah, they look, ultimately, schematic wise, I think LSU handled Auburn pretty well. We threw for over 300 yards and we ran for over 150 yards. But what Auburn did differently was they just had talent, man. You know, like I tell people this all the time, that this game was not just going to be a pushover game. The last four or five games has been, you know, won by a field goal or less. So, this Auburn team came in right number nine in the country. They lost to a good Florida team, which the only reason why they lost to the Florida team was because they was in the swamp and Bo Nix had a bad night, which is the exact same thing that happened on this past Saturday. He was in Death Valley and they had a horrible night. I mean, Bo Nix went 15-35 for 157 yards, one touchdown, one intercept. That's not going to get it. I don't care where you're playing at, right? And the thing about the defense on Auburn's side of the ball, anyway, is that the front four are as good as advertised. But, you know, our offensive line, I think we only allowed one sack of Joe Burrow. So our offensive line did exactly what they were supposed to do. They blocked those big boys up front from Auburn so that they could not get close to Joe Burrow and interrupt any passes, things of that nature. And then, but we could not push them around up in the middle. So what our backs did was, and also Joe, is, you know, we bounced it out on the outside. And once you bounce on the outside, then you can hit 10, 20 yards all day long. Those guys were just as good as advertised up front. And the defensive backs played pretty well. They had really good coverage the entire time. It wasn't as though that they prevented us from doing anything. Because if you look at the numbers, Joe Burrow went 32 of 42 for 321 yards, one touchdown, one intercept. Jamar Chase caught 8 passes for 123 yards. Justin Jefferson 7 for 60. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, which was a surprise, caught 7 passes for 51 yards, which Clyde was probably, in my opinion, the MVP of the game, running the ball and catching the ball out.
Totally agree.
So you got 1, 2, 3, 4. We had 4 receivers with 7 or more receptions last weekend.
Yeah, Clyde. I'm sorry.
Drew Brees type numbers, right? You see Drew Brees throwing the ball to 4 or 5 different guys multiple times. So I love it, man. It was great.
Yeah, Clyde's Edwards-Hilaire or something, man. Should LSU be concerned about special teams? They had a missed extra point, a fumble on a punt return, that long kickoff return they allowed.
Yeah, what I think happened was on the missed extra point, I think the field conditions were an issue, and then on the fumble punt return, I think it was sloppy. So Stingley kind of tried to transfer the ball from one hand to the other, and it just slipped out. I don't think we have any concerns special teams wise. I think we'll be fine. I think that we have to try to be as perfect as possible, which no one is, as we can on special team offense and defense, and don't get caught up in the wildness of, oh, it's Alabama that we're playing. This is a different LSU team, right? We're not coming in with the same team, 3 yards in a cloud of dust and hope for the best. You know, we're going to come in there, we're going to do the same thing we've done all year long. We're going to throw the ball. We're going to try to get the mismatches on the outside, let our receivers and playmakers make plays. And then we're going to try to run the ball too as well. I mean, we got great balance of pass and run, so we can do it all. The surprising thing, I think, for everybody in the country was just how well our defense played. Okay, Bo Nix didn't play well when it comes to throwing the ball because our defense was there the entire time, right? They have great man-to-man coverage. Even when they played zone, they were where they needed to be. And then we got pressure on him. I think we got 2 sacks or 3 sacks. We got pressure on him, as well as they run their run game, which it was the staple of their offense, could not garner any yards at all, period. And for that to happen was in my opinion, one of the greatest things, because that's what we've been, you know, some people would say that this is what, was the lacking of our defense or our team. But I think our defense stepped up big time. I mean, look, don't get me wrong. DJ Williams had 130 yards rushing, but at the end of the day, did you see those 130 yards rushing that he had? I didn't.
Yeah, I got you, Herb. I appreciate your time. I really do. We'll talk to you again. Take it easy on a bye week and try to get yourself healthy, all right?
Thank you. You too.
We'll talk to Energy when we come back. Right now, time for WWL First News.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.